I was so taken away now. I thought there was actually another song. So sorry, Brian. Thank you. It was really amazing. I just want to add on to Pastor Andre's sermon of last week, where he said that we are family, and some of us realize that we have family that we never knew. And we saw this nice embrace here in front that was really touching. If those guys are still here tonight, I was very touched by the emotion between the two of you. But he spoke about three things in the healthy family: relationship, function, and purpose. Just the relationship that we love one another, how important love is, that the world will look at us and they will know that we are his disciples by the love that we have for one another. And that what he specifically says in 1 John, what 1 John says, if there's no love in us, then the love of God can't be in us. If we hate our brother, we cannot love God. So the choice that he's giving to us is that we must love one another. And it's a choice and we must make it. And I want to encourage you to go start loving your neighbor as Jesus loved them. Now, Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Do you all know that scripture? Now, taking that in mind, who believes that God can take 12 men and change all of this town and then the city and then change South Africa for the gospel, for the kingdom of God, and move Africa and the rest of the world? Who of you believe that God can use 12 men? If you believe that, can you stand up? Amen. Now, the difficult part is, if you believe that you are one of those 12, you can be one of those 12 men, I want you to remain seated. I want you to remain standing. If you don't think you can be one of them, I want you to sit down. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may sit. I was actually quite surprised this morning because I got the same feedback, and I actually thought there was going to be like one or two or three, maybe five or ten people that would be standing. Another friend of mine did it at his ministry, and one guy said, "Yeah, but he thinks God can do that out of like 12 or 14 people." And I just think this is something amazing that God is doing in the heart of our church, and it's not any of us. It's something that God is starting to do, and I'm getting so excited about that. So just before I start with my sermon, I just want to talk about the vision of Shofar. Our vision is Matthew 28 verse 18. God gave Jesus all authority, and in his name we must go make disciples, baptize them. There was this guy here this morning. We had to baptize him about 3 or 4 weeks ago, a month ago. But we had to keep him underwater for 6 minutes so that he could die to his old man. He was really struggling. But normally we do it for 7 minutes. But he's quite a big man as well. So Dion had to help me. I had to kick him a bit so that he can just go underwater. But after 6 minutes, he was dead. And then we laid hands on him and we prayed for him. And then he was revived again. He's now a new man. I'm just lying a little bit there. But we baptize people under the water in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We teach them to observe all that I've commanded. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Our vision statement is to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. So already I want to ask you, start praying about where are we going to plant church. Because we're going to plant church soon. Not Gordon's Bay, think a bit further. Gordon's Bay can still come here. They can start maybe Nzamu, maybe Grabow. But this is the vision that God has given this church, and this is where we're going. But I want to just mention a few things. Unity and vision. That there's many ideas and many places that people go to and they receive different kinds of input, but we must know that this is the vision that we as a church have, and that there's vision, there's unity, there must be unity in that, that we maintain the unity of the Spirit, that we must walk in obedience to God and to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit. Submission, that we submit to one another out of reverence for God. Also, know what is covering. If you in a cell group, there's a covering, there's a spiritual covering where you are. God's blessing is on you. God covers you. But if you in a small group and you start going to other small groups that's in house churches, you move out of the covering of God. If you as a church decide we go there, then that's fine. But as soon as you start going to different places, you might move out of the covering of where God wants you to go. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. We don't vote and count the most votes. We listen to the instruction of what God is giving us, and then we act on that. This morning, I felt I had to speak about distractions as well in our church. There's maybe some of the new members that will not be, it won't be applicable to you. But I want to say to you, I love Hebrew teachings. I really enjoy it. There's so much that we can learn from that. Rowley Bays, he was the director. He was a director. He's still a director at MediClinic. His wife, she's got Canaan Ministries, but she taught. He showed us how to do the Shabbat, how you wash hands, and it means that there's nothing between me and anyone in my family. If there is, we first have to repent and say, I'm sorry I made that, and I was nasty to you, and then you can wash your hands, and then you take the salt, and you put the salt over the food, and the salt is that we are salt of the earth, as Jesus said that we should be. We break the bread, the body of Christ, we drink the wine, the blood of the Lamb. Then the father speak a blessing over the children, and the children from overseas will phone at that time that the father is doing the Shabbat, and he knows this blessing is going to be spoken. They will phone because they want the blessing, and that's why the Jewish people are so successful, because the father blesses the children from a young age. At 13 years old, they'll do the mitzvah. And we will do it as well at this church. It's good traditions. Bar mitzvah. How do you? Bar mitzvah. Thank you. Okay, just listen to what he's Morris is saying. It's beautiful culture that goes with it. But there's also a danger of being deceived. I know of someone. This lady was baptized, spirit-filled, speaking in tongues, on fire for Jesus. She renounced Jesus. She's now in Kabbalah. There's men who, after they've been baptized, they know Jesus, then they decided to have been circumcised because that's what the Jewish culture is teaching you. So we just want to say, be careful of these things. It might become a distraction that it draws you away from who Jesus is. This, you just have to believe in Jesus. This is all that you have to do. All those things are wonderful, but be careful that it doesn't draw you away into going into different teachings. The same with the grace message. It's amazing we preach on grace the whole of last year because we feel this is God is grace. But some people go and say there's no condemnation in sin in because you're in Jesus, which there's not. And then they say there's no result or consequences to sin. And then they say there's no hell. And there's a preacher in Stellenbosch who already said there's no hell, a very well-known person. So what we're just asking, stay away from all the different teachers. Just go to the Bible. Just start reading the Bible. Because I so many times hear this one says, you must listen to that guy, and you must listen to this guy, and you must listen to this guy. And it's fine. But rather read the Bible. Let God open the word to you. Don't go to all these tapes and all these things because you're going to become deceived. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 and 5 says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. C.S. always says, you get a false teacher and you get a false prophet, but you don't get a false evangelist. As long as your focus is on people out there, we should be fine. And this is why we say we focus on people, church planting. We show them Jesus. When a new couple comes into your small group, you start teaching them. It brings you back to the basics. This is the simplicity of the gospel. That's where the power is. It's not the knowledge. And then this morning, I got woken up and I just had this thing that I had to go and write down. I know it was the Holy Spirit. I wrote it down and I was so tired. I went down to lie down again and then got it. I'm not finished. And I had to come down and this is what I have to tell you. People, sinners, were drawn to Jesus because of his godliness, his characteristics, not because of his knowledge. So it's not the knowledge that you gain. It's because of the goodness and the love who Jesus was. The New Testament was written in Greek so that the world could understand. It wasn't written in Hebrew so that only the Hebrew people could understand it. The Hebrew knowledge will not give you the understanding of the word, but it's the Spirit of God that will do it. Then people have been drawn away of the goodness and mercy of God because of this knowledge, and it's like elitism. If you have a special knowledge that you're sort of better than other people, and you go to these different teachers to have a special knowledge that other people don't have. And just the word Gnosticism came to my mind. I went to go and search for it quickly this morning on the internet, and the Greek word for it is to know. It's all about a secret knowledge that the Gnosticism had. And this is that is what we must be careful of. Then the scripture that I want to share with you, 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather train yourself for godliness. So this is where my sermon starts this morning. Many people go for all these different teachings and this amazing knowledge that they have, but their personality, when you don't want to talk to them because the love of Jesus is not in them. I don't know if you've seen people like that. And I really feel that I just want to tell you the following story. There's a lady in Stellenbosch. She drove and a taxi drove in front of her and she got so upset. She's driving a Merc and she just couldn't help herself. But the next moment she threw a finger at this guy. And then this guy did something back to her and she couldn't help herself and she threw another finger at this guy. And then later on she didn't have fingers in the one hand anymore. So she started with the other hand and she just lost it completely. And she started shouting and screaming at this guy and she's like on the hooter, and then a policeman come and he arrest her. And this lady's like really frightened because she's never been arrested in her life. Really neatly dressed. He puts her in the van and he takes her to the police station and she wants to know what's the reason that she's being arrested. And he said, no, it's for auto theft. But she said, this is my car. She said, can you prove it? Phone husband, he drives all the way from Cape Town. He comes through to, he has to drive home to Stellenbosch, get the papers first, come to the police station. Says, but here's the papers. This is my, and the policeman says, I'm sorry, I made a massive mistake. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And the lady says, she got such a fright. She said also, no, I'm so sorry. You know, but what was the reason? Why did you think I stole the car? Said, now, on your number plate, it said, what would Jesus do, WP, and that bumper sticker, I love Jesus, and this car is protected by Psalm 91. I couldn't think that you are a Christian, so I thought you might have stolen this car. That's why I arrested you. So I want to ask you, if you get arrested today, if you get arrested today and you are being brought in front of the court because you're a Christian, what would the evidence be against you that you are a Christian? I think that is, for me, the biggest thing. Like, I'm going to have to repent, but my weakness is I take flowers from the church and I give it to my wife. My wife loves flowers. I asked Nareen one day, are those flowers old? Because it was sun. What is that? What's those? Yellow flowers? Sunflowers? Sonneblomme, yeah. And then Nareen said, no, it's my flowers. Okay, sorry. But, you know, when you come home and you say to your wife, I wanted to buy you flowers. That's the intention that you have. It's good. But if you bring the flowers, it actually means so much better. We want to be judged according to our intentions, but we judge other people according to their actions many times. Now, I'm not going to do this to the people who sit in front, so I'm just going to go and forward because I want people to... What do you see when you look at this mirror? Come, don't be shy. I was quite impressed when I looked in it. Eh? You saw yellow too, eh? Ira, wat sien jy? Hè? Kom, wat sien julle daarso? Hè? Just look, Ira, kyk net mooi daarso. Wat sien jy? Okay. Kan jy onthou wat jy gesien het? Okay. In James 1 verse 22 it says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And then it says, "If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." So many times we sit in church and we sit in cell group and we hear all these things, but we never do anything about it. And it's like a man look at the mirror and he walks away and it doesn't mean anything. But if you're a doer of the word, you'll be blessed. And some, you know, you find people that have been in shofar, they know all this one and they know that one and know that one, but it's like they never allowed God to come and do that work in them. And this is where I really feel that we as a church must really become doers of the word, which I really feel we are there. But I really believe that there's a place where in 1 Corinthians 13 says, "For now we know in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. So faith, hope, and love abide by these three, but the greatest of these is love." We will know only in part all the theology questions, but if we have faith, we have hope, and we have love, that will make us different to the world. Love is the most important thing. It doesn't matter what your theology then is, if there's the love of God in your heart. I met a guy, we did a SAP course 13 years ago. He went to the States and he came back, and now I'm in the ministry and he wants to know what do we teach, what do we stand for. And we went through the list, and then he asked me if I'm, what's the word that he used? But there's a difference. This guy, the Armenian view says that God chose everyone for salvation, but we must make the choice. And the Lutheran and the Calvin side says that God made the choice. So we actually don't have a say in it, whether we're going to heaven or not. And that this thing was very important to him because he feels God made the choice. And we actually don't have a say in it. And the answer is it's both. God can still override your choice anyway. If you say no to him, look at Jonah. God overrode his choice. But, you know, it shouldn't make a difference because it's the love that we have in our hearts. So all this knowledge, it's like looking at the mirror. You'll only see in part anyway. Rather focus on the godly things. How do people look at you? And how do they look at me? And for a husband and wife, it's a good thing for us as husbands to ask the wives many times, how do you say, wife, do people look at me? And Dion did it in his small group. But we many times think we are this amazing guys, and I pulled a line through this. I didn't want to share this, but this morning I shared it anyway, so I'm going to do it tonight as well. But I had a terrible weekend with my family where I just felt rejected, and it wasn't great for me. And it's terrible because I feel I've got a testimony of Jesus, and my family should know that I serve Jesus because it's like there's this block there. And then a friend of mine told me as well about an ex-girlfriend of mine that heard that I got saved and my life is so changed and I'm in the ministry. And she said, she can't believe it. He's the most evil guy I knew. So I was crying on my way home, listening to the Bee Gees. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to backslide. But how do people look at us, you know? How do people look at you? Because I really believe many times the biggest block for the gospel of Christ is how we behave as Christians. And this is what where I'm saying, how do people perceive us? Do they see love? Do they see Jesus when they look at us? Or do they see our own desire? When you work for someone and this guy screams at you, do you walk away or do you show them Jesus? I must tell you another story. There was a guy fighting in front of our street, and I went outside and I saw these two guys were drunk and there was a girl involved and she was screaming and shouting, and I thought I was going to just pull them apart. I was a cell leader already. And by the end of the evening, the one guy started attacking me, so I just thought, no, this is enough. And to get for myself a bit of a pack slaw. And then that Wednesday night in cell, I was repenting. I was like, oh, I'm such a sinner. But sometimes we do those type of things, and afterwards you feel so embarrassed about what you've done. But it's not good for Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? It's not good. People don't see Jesus when we act and we try to retaliate and we become angry and there's road rage. It's not good for the gospel of Christ. When your neighbor, I've got a neighbor who's very angry, and people got a petition in another place where he lived because of his dog, and he took the dog by his neck, and he went to the neighbor and he said to her, do you have a knife for me? And she looked and she said, a knife? And the husband came down, he said, do you have a knife for me? And the man was like, what? And then he said, yeah, you want me to put my dog out? I just want to use a knife and so that you can see it. This is the anger that this man's got in his heart. So for this man to start to know Jesus, where must you be? We pray for this guy, but he must know there's something different about who you are in the way that you act. This is not something that you can... I can't start telling him about the love of Jesus. If his dog poo on my front lawn, how am I going to do? Am I just going to pick it up and serve? Or am I going to go and yell at him and say, you better sort your dog out? How do we become more like Jesus? 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So it's easy to speak love, but it's not that easy to do it in deed and do it from the heart. Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then Romans 12 says that we must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind. For me, this following scripture really made a big difference or an impact in my life. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22, flee youthful passions, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. That we know we are righteous before God because Jesus died on the cross for us. But that we also act righteous. We are the righteousness of God, but we can also act the righteousness. When that guy at work is nasty to you, you just say, Lord, thank you for this man. I pray a blessing over him, Lord God. Thank you that you love this guy. If there's someone that swears at you, you bless this person. But that's the righteousness of God is. To grow in faith, that we start praying for people. If someone is struggling, going through a tough time, you know, there was this guy, Eugene Aintema, he got malaria in the hospital. I was unfortunately a bit sick as well, so I couldn't go to him. And his mother just said, you know, when your son's got malaria, nothing matters. Eugene said he wanted to die. That's how sick he was. I don't know if you know, Eugene Dorman also went to go and pray for him. Praise God, that was a turning point for him that night. But he said, then it doesn't matter if you drive a Golf, or you drive a taxi, or you drive a BMW. when you're about to die, those things doesn't matter anymore. What is then important to you? I'm running my sermon. But faith, what I've done a lot as well to grow my faith was in our cell group when people said, I have this prayer request. I wrote down the date, the prayer, and then I left it space open. And I had quite a big book later on. And then as God came through, I wrote a date down, say, praise God. Wrote a date down, praise God. And then 4 years later, I found this book again, and I go through. And there was people that we prayed for salvation that didn't get saved. And I got so frustrated with them. They're not saved, baptized, spirit-filled. Not in our church, but in a different church. And I thought, God is so good. But now you go through this, and you see, oh, look at what I prayed. And you know how many houses I've prayed for other people to have. It's amazing, you know, because we were standing in faith for our own place. If you're sick, see us at the foundations for, this is for deliverance for those of you that don't know. He says if there's a demon coming up, you just say to that demon, in Jesus' name, be still. And then you cast out the demon out of someone else, and I'll deal with you later on. So it's many times it's just that place where we focus outside to people around us and not so focused on yourself. It's in that place where God's coming, start come through for you in your own needs. When you start writing down for other people's needs, God will start blessing you in your needs. When the time is ready, when he deem you faithful, he will start blessing you. And I also believe God really wants to bless us, but he's after our characters. He wants our heart first before he can start blessing us in these things. Love, we make the choice to love people, that people will only know that we're Christians by the love that we have. I think this is so important. This is what God is saying to us at this time, that we love one another. Be peacemakers, that where we go, we bring peace. We speak peace. We bless people. My little children, 2 and 4, they are, what's the word? But there's just a spirit of lawlessness in them sometimes. And you just go and you say, Lord, thank you for your peace. Sometimes you get it right. Sometimes the spirit overtakes you as well. So there's just complete chaos in our house. But sometimes you just stand backwards and say, Father, thank you for your peace in this house. When we eat, I don't say bless the food. I say thank you for your peace in this house. And then the naughtier one go, hey. And he just sits there. So there's really a place where we are peacemakers. We can just release God's peace into this world. John 3:30, Jesus must increase and we must decrease. Now, stock taking, for those of you who sell, is in the merchandise business, you understand stock taking. But there are sometimes things in our hearts that prevent us from coming into that place of God's fullness, where we can love people the way that Jesus did. And one of them that I just want to mention is bitterness. That if there's unforgiveness in your heart and you can't forgive someone, this unforgiveness can become resentment, that you're always upset about people, or retaliation. You will get them back. You will never do that to me again. I will teach you. Anger, wrath, hatred, that will lead to murder. That you don't get, and this is actually where I wanted to tell you about this neighbor of mine as well, that you know, this anger in this man. So I just go, Lord, thank you for your blessing. I speak peace over this, over our complex, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. And we thank you that you love this man. The other one, and this is something that many ladies, especially when they get married, they struggle with this, envy and jealousy. The Bible calls it covetousness. You look at the other people, what they drive, and you look at how big their house is, and you put pressure on your husband to go and perform more. It's God that provides. It's not the husband. It's not the husband that must go and now get a better job because you're getting anxious because you have now your second baby or your first baby, and the golf is not going to be big enough anymore. There's people that walk, and you want to have a big car so that you don't have to sit uncomfortable in a golf anymore. And I just want to say, keeping up with the Joneses is a sin. And repent from that. That will destroy you, because your focus becomes on possessions and wanting more. You want more, and your focus is not on God completely. You trust in man and what man can give to you. You're not putting your trust in who God is. And what I also found with people like that, I always talk to the rich people. my best friend from school. We went to school together. We grew up together. His wife doesn't want him to be friends with me because I wasn't rich enough for them. Can you believe it? But some people are like that, where they feel they are better than other people because they earn more. So this is what envy and jealousy will do to someone. Then rejection. When you've been rejected, many times you can't connect to God. You can't connect to people because there's a sore in your heart. You've always been rejected. When they choose teams and there's a big group and you say, I choose you and I choose you, you know, and you're always the last one standing. It's terrible to someone's confidence. When I was in standard 7, there was grade 9, I think it is now, there was this girl that I really liked, and everyone knew I liked her because they could see on my face that I liked this girl. But she liked my best friend, Alan, and Alan liked her, and everyone knew except me. And only a week later, and a week in school is like a long, long time, I found out that she liked him. And I felt so rejected by her, by Alan, and my friends for not telling me, and I was so embarrassed because of that. But rejection can many times be an addiction, where you try for someone more pretty, and every time you get rejected, and you never come to where Jesus is. So whenever you act out of that place of rejection. And bring this thing to Jesus, let Jesus heal you. When for me, God really blessed me with a beautiful wife. When I said to him, Lord, I can't serve you if you don't give me a wife. And he gave me a wife. I'll tell you the story another time. Addictions, drugs, alcohol, sex, masturbation for the men, pornography, maybe eating disorders for the girls. It will always leave you in shame. You will always feel condemned because of these things. Bring these things before God. Have it sorted out in your heart. Fear as well. And then I just want to say something else. There's some people who are like a vacuum cleaner. When they come to you, they suck you. Like, and they just tell you their stories the whole time. And then when they're done, like you just look for a way to get out of the suction. And then eventually when you're out, you run away. And then, you know, that you feel embarrassed because you know, this person was still halfway in their story. But the next moment, so don't be focused on yourself. Ask people, how are you? It's good to hear. And let them speak to you and hear how they are. And then say, I will bless you. And sometimes not tell your own stories to people. Sometimes it's just be focused on who other people are. And, you know, I just want to say, if any of these things are applicable to you, this Psalm 103, verse 2 and 4 really blessed me. I held on to that, especially for the men with lust as well. Many times you feel, I will never get through this thing. It's there. I can't get rid of this thing. It's holding me down. And I want to say to you guys, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He heals all, and he forgives all. It's not some all but lust. It's all of them. Ephesians 4 verse 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I didn't want to preach this. I just want to read you the scripture. Romans 12 verse 9 to 21. You must sit in front if you want to see on the board. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Go and read John 15. We can't do this in our own strength. It's impossible. We must abide in Christ. As we abide in Christ and He in us, we will bear fruit. If we don't have fruit, God will just gently come and He will prune us so that we can bear more fruit. This is the love that God has for us. If you look at Galatians 5 verse 21, or 22 and 23, this is the fruit that God is talking about. Now, I just want to say to you, in our own strength, we will always, when people ask Jesus, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? He says, do the law. He says, no, I do all 10 commandments. I do them. He says, but go and sell your stuff and then follow me. Then they can't do it. Or they will say, Lord, yeah, I do all the commandments. And He says, but if you hate your brother, you're like a murderer at heart. Or if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you're like an adulterer at heart. So what was Jesus doing? He was always raising the bar so that we can't get there. In our own strength, we will never be able to come to what I've read here in Romans 12. We can't do it in our own strength. Jesus was raising the bar. He was saying, you can't do it. Come to me. When you're in me, you can do it. You can do it. So what I'm saying this morning is, what is your fruit? What is the fruit that you are showing? Is the fruit love? Is there love? Do you love all people? Is there people that you actually don't like? Because God says we must love all people. Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you sit? Because we do it many times. When people walk in, if you're not full of joy, the Spirit of God is not in you. Because you can see it in the fruit. Peace. Are you anxious all the time and you want to tell people and you please, and the cell group is always praying for you? There's no peace in you. Kindness. Are you kind to the small people, to everyone, the old people? Are you kind to them? Goodness. Faithfulness. Are you always on time? Gentleness, self-control, especially for the addictions. Now, don't ask me for coffee afterwards, because I'm going to say yes. If you struggle with any of these things, it's fine. Just come to God. As God says, Psalm 51, He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me in a willing spirit. So when we come to God, God will just renew your heart. He will just renew the spirit in you and just come and do a thing. And I think this is why it's so important for us to spend time with God. The more we spend time with God, the more the fruit of the Spirit will be in our lives. The more we will be attractive to people, the more people will start seeing Jesus in us. So we all have hurts, but the more we go to foundations, and when people say, come forward for prayer, come forward. It's such a blessing to come forward, because you receive the Spirit of God. That's what starts cleansing you from the inside. You're being renewed. You're becoming a new creature in Christ every time you respond. But when we worship as well, don't worship like this. And I see when we minister people to receive the Holy Spirit and to pray in tongues, when they do this, they don't receive it, but I saw a friend of mine doing it as well, and it's actually so amazing. You just take their hands and you do this, and they go, and they start praying in tongues. It's just, you open, when we worship God, you open your arms to receive from who God is. So God wants to, in Ezekiel, He says He wants to give us one heart, a new spirit. He wants to retake a heart of stone, and He wants to give us a heart of flesh, that He can be our God and we can be His children, that we will follow in His ways and we will obey His commandments. We will obey it because we are in the Spirit of God. God's Spirit will be leading us to do it, not because we're striving to get there. Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. So it's not by the stuff that we do. It's just the Spirit of God that will fall upon us. Now Joel 2 verse 28 says, and it shall come to pass afterwards. So we actually should have read it before 21 May, that this is actually needs to happen before the rapture or anything else like that would happen. It will come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and the female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in heaven and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. And the sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. So this is the place where God wants to pour out His Spirit on all of us. And we will see visions and we dream dreams. And we lay hand on the sick and they will be healed. If you look at Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those that mourn. So Jesus came so that we can bring good news to the poor. We can send, He can bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to those who are captive, and take those who are bound, take them out of bondage to come into a life. And these people will then go in verse 4, they shall build the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. I just want to read more of that as well, because it's actually quite applicable to I think, what God is wanting to say now. Is Isaiah in the Old or the New Testament? Old. Okay, thanks. Okay, it just, and then in verse 5, it says, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and your sons and the sons of foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you they shall call you the servants of God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. This is what God has been called us for. This is, He wants to pour out His Spirit so that we can come and bring healing to these people. Show them who Jesus is. So the Spirit of God will do it through who we are. Isaiah 6 verse 8 says, the Lord says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? And this evening I ask you, God is asking you, who shall I send and who shall go to us? Is your answer, here am I, send me. Can we just close our eyes and just stand up in conclusion of this sermon? Father, thank you, Lord God, for your heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we just make a decision this evening, Lord God, to become less, Lord, that you can become more in our lives, Lord God. That, Father, when even we stand in checkers in a queue, Lord God, that we will be Jesus, Lord, to the people that stand around us, Lord God. Father, that when that lady takes our money, Lord God, that we will be a blessing to who she is, Lord God. Father, that wherever we go, we will wait on your Spirit to be a blessing, Lord God. And we'll speak life over people, Father, wherever we go, Lord God. And Father, if someone stands in front of us, we will say, no, God bless you. You stand in front of me. I've got more time than what you have. And Father, that we will not stand on our rights, Lord God, but we will stand on the truth, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Yes, Father, and this evening, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that we have a vision, Lord God, to go and make disciples, Lord God. And Father, the one thing that I truly believe that you said, Lord God, that we will not be able to go, Lord God, if we are focused on ourselves, Lord God. If there's all these things that is still in our heart that we haven't dealt with, Lord God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to bring this before you, Lord. And I want to ask you, Lord, that you come and cleanse us, Lord God. That your Holy Spirit come and cleanse us from these hurts of the past, Lord God. Lord, where we still have bitterness in our heart, Lord. We have unforgiveness in our heart and resentment and anger in our heart, Lord God. That you'll come and cleanse us from these things, Lord God. And Father, where we covet our neighbor's stuff, Lord God. We want to have more, Lord God. And we talk about this house and that house and all these things, Lord God, and this car, Lord God. Father, we just want to come and repent of these things, Lord God, this evening, Father. Lord, and Father, where we're still focused on these addictions and getting drunk, maybe, Lord God, or just masturbating, Lord God. Father, and tonight we just want to say no more, Lord God. We don't want to look at pornography no more, Lord God. Father, I release the Spirit of God on these men, Lord God, and we declare that these men are mighty men of God, Lord God. We are mighty men, Lord God, that has been called for the purposes of God, and we will stand as men, as husbands, Lord God, and we will make the right choice, Lord God, and we will love people around us, Lord God, and we will honor our wives, Lord God, and we will love our wives, Lord God, because that is what you're asking of us, Lord God. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you will release the joy of the Lord. Father, please, in the name of Jesus, I just don't want to look in faces anymore, Lord God, that look so sad, Lord God, that look so intense, Lord God, and frowns every time you look at them, Lord God. Father, that people just be spontaneous, Lord God. They start smiling and laughing, Lord God, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord God. Father, release your love on us, Lord God. Give us an openness, Lord, to serve you, Lord God, to be with you, Lord God, and to show other people how good you are, Lord. Father, many people will never know you, Lord God, because they can't see you in this world, Lord God. They will not pick up a Bible, Lord God. They will look at people, and that will be the testimony, Lord God. Father, I ask you, Lord God, give us evidence, Lord God. Give us testimony, Lord God, so that people can convict us, Lord, of being Christians, Lord God. Even if they persecute us, Lord God, that we will not persecute them, Lord. We will bless them, Lord God. We will love them, Lord God. And Father, Lord, that evil will not be overcome by evil, Lord God, but evil will be overcome by good, Lord God, by your love, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, as every eye is closed, I just want to ask, is there anyone here this morning, you do not have a relationship with Jesus, and this morning you realize that there's always anger in your heart. You have not come to that place. Maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you've never come to a place where you've made a decision to serve Jesus, where you've been born again, where you've repented and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. From today, I'm going to put my faith and my hope in you, and I'm going to live a life of following Christ. If that is you tonight, you know you have to give your heart to the Lord. I just want you to raise your hand so that we can pray with you. If you feel tonight you want to give your heart to Jesus, tonight you want to give your heart to the Lord, I want you to raise your hand. Come on, Sharon. If you're not comfortable to do it and you want to come afterwards to us, you're more than welcome to come and speak to us that we can pray with you. But I also want to give you the opportunity for people, if there's bitterness in your heart, there's bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, and there's someone, specifically someone that you can't forgive. You are upset with that person because of what that person has done to you, and you're upset with that person. You can't forgive that person. I want to pray for you. Just come, bring it into the light. As you're going to walk forward, God is going to release that thing from you, and you will not have to struggle with that anymore. So if that is you, please come forward that we can pray with you. If you are envious of someone else's things, you're always keeping up with the Joneses, you're always looking up to the mountain and looking at houses that you want to live in, you always, there's envy in your heart, There's covetousness in your heart, and you want to bring this into the light. I also ask that you respond and come forward so that we can pray with you for that. And then maybe you've been rejected. Maybe your parents rejected you. Men have walked away from you, and there's a hurt in your heart because they've always chosen someone else above you. They've all maybe chosen your sister or your brother over you always, and you've always felt rejected. You're always the last one that they ask, and you want God to come and just bless you tonight. I want you to come forward, especially come to me, because I want to pray with you. And then if there's anyone struggling with addictions and they say, just no more, I just don't want to be held down by this addiction, by this bondage, tonight I'm bringing it into the light. I want you to respond to this as well in the name of Jesus. Yes, Father, we just thank you that, Lord God, that we can bring our fears before you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you can release a clean heart, Lord God, in us, Lord God, and renew a right spirit in us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Sharanta. Come on, Sharanta. If there's anyone that needs prayer as well, you're more than welcome to come forward that we can pray with you. Maybe there's healing that you want, or you're feeling sick, that we just trust God for you not to walk out of here being sick. But you know, if I just maybe want to say, if there's maybe pride in your heart as well, don't be a hearer of the word where you look in the mirror and you walk away and you forget what you look like. But make a decision today to become a doer of the word. If those things are in your heart, you say, God, I want to bring this before you today. I'm coming forward. And just don't worry about pride anymore. Just God says, I will resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. If you want to just respond on that word, just come forward. Let us pray with you. It's not because you're a bad person. It's just because you're a person needing Jesus. And Jesus loves you so much. He wants you to come forward because he wants to minister with you. Thank you, Mother. Lord bless you. You're more than welcome to respond. If some of the facilitators can just come forward for the people, if they want to respond, that they will feel more comfortable to come forward as well. Thank you. Come have some coffee with us. God bless you. Morris, can I have a chat with you as well, if you don't mind? And Chris as well. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you.